Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives and your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we just ask you to reveal it to us and to help us receive it and understand it. Lord, I pray that you'd open heaven for us today. That we would know you more. That we would see more of you. As we seek you, Lord, we just pray that we find you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot going on, isn't there? You notice that? A lot of floods, tornadoes. Is that a sign of something? Could be. They had an earthquake this morning in Peru, 8.0. Things are getting interesting, and things are going to continue to get interesting until the end, until he comes back for us. We need to keep praying for strength. And we need to keep relying on him. Our opening scripture today was Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Does that apply to us? It does. It was spoken to Israel, but we are grafted in to Israel. We don't replace Israel, don't get me wrong. But we are grafted in. This promise, what is said here, we are a holy people unto the Lord. As believers in Jesus Christ, and as believers and receivers of Jesus Christ, then we are a holy people unto the Lord, even though we don't act like it sometimes. Of course, we're supposed to act like it. Because he's chosen us. We didn't choose him. We couldn't come to him. Except he chose us, and he beckoned us to come to him. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't even think about him. He's chosen us to be a special people unto himself, his own special treasure, the apple of his eye. I don't think we think enough about just how much we mean to God and how much he loves us. Above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord did not set his love upon us because we were more in number. He didn't set his love upon us because we were good people. He set his love upon us because he loves us. He chose us because he loves us. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Does that apply to us? What does Egypt represent? It represents the world. What does Pharaoh represent? The devil. The one that's trying to destroy us. But he brought us out from that. With a mighty hand. And he's redeemed us. Verse 9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, that's basically a way of saying forever. We don't need to count. It's just forever. It's one of those numbers he throws out there sometimes. Like, forgive your brother 7 times 70. In other words, don't even bother counting. Our God is a faithful God. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Actually, I'm not going to be talking a whole lot about it. I'm going to be using the Word of God. I've got an awful lot of Scripture here and very few comments on it. But that's just what was given to me. So, Deuteronomy 7:9, I already read it once. I'm going to read it again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. This characteristic, this faithfulness of God is essential to his being. Without it, God wouldn't be God. For God to be unfaithful would be contrary to his nature. It would be impossible. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even if we're not faithful, God is still faithful because that's what he is and who he is. Psalm 89:8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? His faithfulness surrounds him completely. It permeates from his very being, from everything he is, his faithfulness. And when the Word became flesh, when Jesus Christ came to earth and walked the earth and died for our sins, he remained faithful. In Isaiah 11:5, talking about Jesus, it says, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Reins in the King James Version means kidneys. Basically, it's the seat of the emotions. So anytime you see the word reins, that's what's being talked about. It's probably a word that we would use heart for. But the seat of his emotions. Psalm 36:5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in thy heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. We sang about that. Unto the highest mountain, it flows to the lowest valley, no matter where we are. Whether we're feeling really good and everything's going great and we're on top of that mountain, or whether we're put way down in that valley, God is still there and God is still faithful. He's far above, and his faithfulness is far above anything that we can comprehend. Numbers 23:19. Says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent or change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is faithful. If he says he's going to do something, if he says something's going to be, it's going to be. We find many examples of God's faithfulness all through the Bible. Genesis 8:22, in fact, this is in a song that we sang today. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Why won't it cease? Because God is faithful. And it will continue until he says it's not going to continue anymore. Lamentations 3:22-23, and this is from the same song. Or, that song was from this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Genesis 15:13-16, and he said unto Abram, Know of a surety, this being God talking to Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God told Abraham what was going to happen to his descendants, that they were going to be in Egypt. They're going to be afflicted for 400 years. We also read that they came out after 430 years. Is that a contradiction? No. They were there for 430 years, but they were afflicted only for 400 of that. Only. And we're going to see that in the next verse. Exodus 12:41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The selfsame day, the exact day that God had said it was going to be, guess what? It happened. God's never late. We might think he's late sometimes. There's a verse in Habakkuk, and I've probably mentioned it before, but it talks about the vision is yet for an appointed time, though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, that says it won't tarry, then it says it will tarry, then it says it won't tarry. Why is that? Because the first tarry is by our clock, by our reasoning, when we think it should be. The second tarry is when it actually is. God does things when he says he's going to do them. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Galatians 4:4, and when the fullness of the time was come, that's the very day, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God is faithful. His word is true. His promises are sure. How much confidence do we have in them? Probably not as much as we should, do we? And yet he gives us every reason to. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful the promised. When things don't work out the way we think they should, when people let us down, when it seems like God is far away from him, when he's not even around, it gets kind of hard to keep our faith, doesn't it? Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. When we are tempted to doubt God's faithfulness, what do? When we go through that period of darkness that even believers experience, what do when we're told by the enemy to doubt? We do what Jesus said, or we say what Jesus said in Luke 4:8. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. I don't need to read the rest of that verse. For it is written. God has said it. He's faithful. John 13:7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do now, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. We're not always going to understand what he does or why we go through the things we do. But in his own good time, he will make it plain to us. He will show us the reason. You know, if we could understand everything God does, well, we can't. Would he still be God if we could understand everything about him? He's a lot more than we can imagine. He's a lot more than we can figure out. But that's okay, isn't it? Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. If he's putting us through something, we need to know that there's and believe that there's going to be an end to it. He's only going to do it so far. Psalm 119:138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. He hasn't only told us the best, he's also told us the worst. He doesn't just tell us the good that's going to happen. He tells us and he warns us about the bad. He doesn't just make good on his promises, he also makes good on his threatenings. Look at his dealings with Israel. Read Deuteronomy 28 and then look at everything that Israel's gone through. It's all there. It's all based on one word. That one word is if. And I believe that's the biggest word in the Bible. If. If you do this or if you do that. God is faithful in preserving his people. 1 Corinthians 1:8-9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God promised us his Son. Is he going to keep that promise? Yes. There's a covenant that was made. Actually, we don't really fully understand it. A lot of us don't. Because it wasn't really made with us. It was made between God and his Son. God said, if you will die for this people, I will give them to you for a possession. Our part is in receiving it as a possession. We're going to be his bride. We're going to be his wife. Part of the betrothment ceremony in Jewish culture is the drinking of the cup. We do that once a month, don't we? And every time we do it, we need to remember that we are recommitting ourselves. We're saying yes to him. God is faithful in disciplining his people. God is faithful in disciplining his children. When I was a child, we had a phenomenon at our home called the woodshed. I visited it many times. God has a woodshed too, doesn't he? Hebrews 12:7-10. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't do it. If my father hadn't loved me, he wouldn't have taken me to the woodshed. I'll just go ahead and do whatever you want. That wasn't my father's attitude, and that's not my heavenly father's attitude either. God never afflicts without a reason. 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And how do we respond when he chastens us, when he corrects us, when he disciplines us? Daniel 9:7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. Literally, shame of face. He is righteous. We come to him with sorrow for the things we've done. for turning away from Him. Because every time we sin, we turn away from Him. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Psalm 89:22-33. Then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Hosea 5:15 says, in their affliction, they will seek me early. God has a way of getting our attention, doesn't he? Look what he did to Jonah. First the storm came and rocked that boat, and then people started accusing him, and then they threw him overboard. And if things couldn't possibly get any worse, what happens next? He became lunch for a great big fish. But if you think about it, what would have happened to Jonah if that fish hadn't swallowed him? He'd have drowned. God prepared that fish. God supplied that fish. Because God is faithful. God is faithful in glorifying His people. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Romans 8:30, I'm going to shorten this a little bit. Whom He called, them He also glorified. If He calls us, then He's going to finish the work, isn't He? Have we been called? Have you been called? Anybody here that hasn't been called by God? Guess what He's going to do? Second Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. He's built a foundation in each one of us, a foundation of Him. The rock that we stand on, the rock, Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was resting on the faithfulness of God when he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Have you committed yourselves to God? Then He's able to keep it, isn't He? Why? Because He's faithful. The grasping or the apprehension of this truth will preserve us from worry. It should. Job 5:19, He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. The grasping of and the apprehension of this truth will help keep us from complaining. Do we complain? Help keep us from complaining. That doesn't mean we're not going to. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This isn't all there is it? We've got something to look forward to. That the sufferings of this present time, we're not even going to think of them, are we? Why should we? When we're going to have all that that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for us. And finally, the grasping and the apprehension of this truth will increase our confidence in God. Wherefore, 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. A faithful Creator. He created you. Why? Because He loves you. Because He wants you with Him. And He's faithful to do what He's going to do. It's not easy to let go, though, is it? We'd like to grab hold of those things and, hey, here, Lord, I'm giving this to you. And then we're tugging at it, trying to take it back from him all the time. We need to let go sometimes. God is faithful. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the love you've had for us before we even were thought of, before we even were anything, Lord. You loved us. You still love us. And Lord, we just pray for your presence in our lives. Guide us and direct us into the things of you, the things that you want to be. May we seek your heart. And may we trust in that heart. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us today, Lord, as we go about our ways and we go about the things we do. I just pray, Lord, that you'd bring us back together, Lord, when we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that concludes our service.